Senator Ron Menezes, Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sanitarian Congregation, Mount Apple, Rock Town, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is December 14, 2017, that is 6/27/2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Faith is a Victory. Camped along the hills of light, the Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. It is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, the sword, the word of love. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph taught. Our faith lay like a whirlwind's breath, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered them is still a shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. The tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on his head, the truth of God about. The earth shall tremble neath the tread, and echo with the shout. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night, and us with conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Hear ye the rod, and he hath appointed part two. All right, let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Start with verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, Yahweh hath not appeared unto thee. And Yahweh said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And Yahweh said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand in thy bosom, and he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again, and he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his own flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Yahweh, O my Yahweh, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of the speech and of the slow tongue. And the Yahweh said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the sin, or the blind? Have not I, the Yahweh? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now we go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Now let's look at a cross reference here on that. It says that, But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour which you shall speak. In Mark 13:11, it says that he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. So who is it given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? It's the chosen people of Israel. Yahweh's prophets that he puts over the house of Israel. So it says in Matthew 13:12, For whosoever hath to him shall be given. Actually, I was reading from Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Alright, let's go to Mark 13:11. It says that, But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now, when I rise in the morning, every morning, the Holy Spirit speaks to me, because I know not what the Holy Spirit has for us that we should present today. But I ask in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads me to what I should give. And so this is the Holy Spirit speaking. This is a living word I'm reading from, and this is the Holy Spirit that teaches man's mouth what to speak. So we go back to Exodus now, chapter 4, and the Yahweh furthermore, verse 6, said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hands down. Okay, I've already read that. Okay, let's go back to Exodus chapter 4, and let's read verse 13. And he said, O my Yahweh, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Yahweh was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of Yahweh. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do sign. And Moses went and returned unto Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, Go in peace. And Yahweh said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of Yahweh in his hand. And Yahweh said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Verse 24. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Yahweh met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision? And the Yahweh said unto Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of Yahweh and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of Yahweh who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which Yahweh had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Yahweh had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. Now, you know, Paul says over there in 1 Corinthians 10:4, he says, Yahshua was that rock in the cloud that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. It's actually pronounced Yahushua, Yahweh's name on the front of the son's name, Shua. So I'm going to read that to you again. It says, this is Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 10, let's read verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Okay. Now it says, And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Yahshua. I say Yahshua, it's Yahushua. Y-A-H-U-S-H-U-A. I mispronounced that U in the middle. But that's the way it's supposed to be spelled, with eight letters, not seven. Eight means a new order. And Yahshua is that eighth. And just by virtue of putting that U in there, making eight letters to his name, coincides with the scripture where it talks about the eighth man. The eighth prophet, Psalm 78:13-14. Psalm 78:13-14. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Okay, so now, who is that rock in that cloud? That was Yahshua. So, is this Yahweh, the Father, leading them with the cloud, or is it Yahshua, the rock in that cloud, leading the children of Israel? So we're going to have to hone in on this, them back then in ancient Israel's time, when they used the word Yahweh, they were directly talking about the Father, but when they used the word Yahweh in front of Shua, they was talking about the Son. And they were introduced to him, if he was that rock in the cloud, and they all drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, And they had to know that they were dealing with the sun. So we're going to try to elaborate more on that from now on. That this rock that follows, that cloud that follows us today and leaves us today is Yahshua. He's the rock in that cloud. So it says in Psalm 78:14, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. So who's going to do this today? When that cloud comes back today, then know ye that Isaiah 4 then will have met its fulfillment there in Isaiah 4. We'll go and turn to that right quick and read that. Just got 6 verses. It says that, and in that day, 7 women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Who are those 7 women? Those are the 7 churches that are mentioned in Revelation 1, starting with Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, which represents the Adventist Church. So these 7 women are also symbols of those 7 churches, which represents the house of Israel. So it says, in that day shall the branch of the Yeshua, the branch of the Yeshua, be beautiful. What is that branch? Or you might say, but actually it's talking about Yeshua here. The branch of the Yeshua, in other words, the church of the Yeshua, or the kingdom of the Yeshua, or the house of David of the Yeshua, will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth, 144,000, the first fruits of the earth, when you guys see that word fruit, the first fruit of the earth, 144,000, coming out of the Adventist Church. And folks, I want to tell you something. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Yahweh is moving upon this house over here, this kingdom here that we represent, this house of David, to open up the mind, get the mind open more widely, and so that he can show us some of these great and mighty things that's right in front of us. And number one, we're going to repeat the antitype of Moses standing before Pharaoh using 10, going to have to use 10 plagues upon the house of Israel in order for this General Conference President to acknowledge the 144,000 is in their midst, because they have always denied that. Ellen G. White's first vision that she had. She had over 2,000 visions and dreams. And the first one she had was on the 144,000. And that is the very group that the Adventists have denied from the start go. They have spiritualized the 144,000 as being just theoretical. They're saying it's not a physical, literal number. And then when they do say it's any way of a number, they say, well, it represents those that have got to be resurrected, and they put all kinds of ideas on it. They destroyed the truth of the real meaning of what the 144,000 constitute. Well, you always put that upon this, the burden upon my heart to start with an intense study on this. This thing is a deep well. And so I'm going to, after this sermon here, I'm going to go back to General Conference Special, V.T. Holliff, 1950, when he called for the Adventists to come up, the General Conference leaders to come up and to acknowledge the 144,000 in their midst and to pay call for their deliverance in 1950. It didn't happen, but that was the, V.T. Holliff thought it was time for the antitype of Moses delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. He thought that the conquering point would be when the 144,000 come forth. And he thought they were supposed to come forth in 1950 in the 11th hour. And he said the 11th hour was the last hour, so he said, well, we're in the last hour, and that's when the 144,000 has to appear. And so, but Yahshua said there's 12 hours in a day, and so he was 1 hour premature, and the 144,000 will come forth in this 12th parabolic hour. But they're still in the Adventist Church. So this thing is bigger than all of us, and we're going to have a replay and a repeat of this Moses going down into Egypt again and delivering the children of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh that knew and that forgot and knew not what the Bible called the gods of Joseph. Yeah, when Joseph first went down in Egypt. First Pharaoh that Joseph was under, he knew and worshipped Yahweh, the Father and the Son. And Joseph taught the Egyptians the plan of salvation, and they restored the Egyptians accepted the true time in the creation calendar that Joseph presented to them. And all of Egypt worshipped those holy days because they were commanded to listen to Joseph, and whatever he says to do, he said, the Pharaoh says, you do it. Whatever Joseph tells you to do, you do it. Well, what does that tell you? Joseph told him to honor the holy Sabbath days of the Israelites that was Yahweh given to Israel. And they obeyed it. But they give Egyptian name for the 12 months of the year. Each month of the year they give an Egyptian name for it. And Yahweh accepted that because they kept the holy days at the correct time on their Egyptian calendar. And they honored the Yahweh of Joseph. Because Pharaoh told them, Egypt says, bow the knee, and everything that Joseph tells you to do, you do it. Because he is our deliverer and our savior. He interpreted my dream, Pharaoh would tell him, about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. He interpreted that. And literally saved our lives. So therefore, you worship the Yahweh that he worships. Okay, this is where we're at today, folks. The house of David is going to command this spiritual Egypt, this general conference of the Seventh-day Adventists that runs the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is going to command them because the general conference president is the antitypical Pharaoh that knows not the God of Joseph, not the Yahweh of Joseph. Okay? So now, in Isaiah 4, verse 3, it says, And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. And Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of the burning. And Yahweh will create upon every dwelling place of the Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shine of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat and for a place of refuge and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Okay. Isaiah 25:4. Let's go read it. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Okay, let's read verse 1 of Isaiah 25. O Yahweh, let's do that song. O Yahushua, thou art my Savior. I will exalt thee. They say here God, G-O-D, but if the translator had left the Hebrew names in there, like it was originally printed in the King James in 1611, they had just not taken those sacred names out, it would have read like this: O Yahushua, thou art my Elohim. You see? They give it, or my Yahweh. In other words, you're my Father. Because Yahweh has made his Son the Father to the people that he has redeemed here on earth. They look upon him as their Savior, Redeemer, and their Father, their Yahweh. Because he introduced them to that idea. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, and the words that I speak are the Father's words, not mine. So they just automatically believed that they were dealing with the both people, Yahweh and his son Yahushua. All right. So, O Yahushua, thou art my Savior, my Redeemer, my King. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and in the truth. For thou hast made of a city an heap, of a defensed city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. What does it mean that it shall, what city is that shall never be built? Isaiah 21:9 says, and behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen, and he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. Okay, and you go to Revelation 14:8 for a cross reference on that. So what is that? Isaiah 25:2 is saying again, for thou hast made of a city an heap, and of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. So once Babylon is cast down now and destroyed, then this is what it's talking about here. That city of Babylon. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. In other words, the cities of Babylon. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, when the blast of the Babylonians. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. So what is that, the terrible ones? That's Babylon. And in this mountain shall the Yahshua the host. What mountain is that? The mountain of the house of the Yahweh. And you go to Isaiah chapter 2 and read about that right quick. It says, for the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Okay? So what is Isaiah 25 talking about here? Then it says, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. There's that cloud right there. What did that cloud do for Israel and their deliverance out of Egypt? It led them through the wilderness for 40 years, and wherever they went, that cloud, that rock in the cloud, drove the enemies out of wherever they had. They were told to go and camp. The enemy had to flee out or be destroyed. For the branch of the terrible one shall be brought low, and in this mountain, it says, shall the Yahshua the host make unto us all, unto all people, a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees of the fat thing. Full of marrow and wines on the lees, well refined, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. And in this mountain shall Yahshua the host make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees of fat things, full of marrow and wines on the lees, well refined, and he will destroy in this mountain. What mountain is that? The mountain of the house of Yahweh, when it was first set up and was identified later as a sinful kingdom. That's in Amos chapter 9. The face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. And he will swallow up death in victory, and Yahshua Elohim will wipe away tears from off all faces. Yahweh tells me every day, he says, you're in eternity. You're in eternity. If you are the overcomer, he said, well, I give the rule over the nations. He says, I will give thee a special name. I'll give you a white stone, and that white stone a new name that no man knoweth saveth he that receiveth it. Revelation 2:17. So, we're in eternity, folks. In the 12th hour, those that come to the first judgment to enter into the 12th hour, they're the ones that are given judgment to pronounce upon the world by the power of the Father through the Son, passed on unto his purified leaders of the house of David. And the rebuke of his people shall be he take away from off all the earth, for the Yeshua has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our Elohim, or lo, this is our King, Yahushua. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahshua. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And we know that it says Yahshua is lowly, and he comes into Jerusalem and having salvation. And then we go to Psalms 20, verse 5. David talks about that, having salvation. Let's go read about it. It says that we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our Yeshua, we will set up our banners. Yeshua, fulfill all thy petition. Now know, this is Psalms 20, verse 6. Now know I that the Yeshua saveth his anointed. So we are his anointed. The house of David, we are his anointed. David number 2, Africa. Know for surety that maintain a purified ministry and continue on walking in the light, that is shining on your path every day, and share it with all of those that you can minister unto, and you will can claim the same anointing, because you indeed has been anointed for the same purpose that we have been anointed for. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of Yahshua, our Redeemer, our Yahweh, our King. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save Yahweh. Let the King hear us when we call. Save Yahshua. Let the King hear when we call. Psalm 17:16. Verse 15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Let us now go back to Isaiah chapter 4. Read verse 4. When the Yeshua shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Yahushua from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. So now, what is this talking about? This is not necessarily talking about Gilead Center. That's where it be. That's where this purging began, all right, 2002. But when he purged away the filth of the daughters of Zion, he's talking about all of the branches of Zion. And we may find out that there's quite a few, but the main thing is, the only place that he could purge his filth of the daughters of Zion is at the headquarters of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Start with the General Conference President, the antithetical Pharaoh of today that know not the Yahweh of the Joseph. And shall have purged the blood of Yahushua from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, by the spirit of burning. This is what will produce 144,000 folks. And the Yahshua will creep upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, and the sign of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime, from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime. What is that tabernacle? Actually, we'll go back to Isaiah 25, read verse 4 again. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy, and in his distress a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones, such as Babylon, is as a storm against the wall. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 4. Let's continue the subject there from there. Verse 13, he said, O my Yahweh, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Yahweh was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be unto him instead of the Yahweh. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Now we're dealing, our key word today is the rod. I talked to my minister in the Adventist Church back there 50 years ago, back in the 60s. He was a professor of religion at the King University there at King, Texas. And I went to King, Texas for one semester there, and he was my religion teacher. And then when I left there and went and joined an Adventist church in my neighborhood, lo and behold, they sent him there to be the minister of that church. And we continued on our Bible studies together in his study. I asked him one day, I said, what is the definition for the word rod? And he said, authority for God's government. I asked Brother Johnson one day, what is the definition for the rod? Brother John said, Yahweh told him that it was authority for his government. All of the people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church that are spiritual teachers of the Bible, especially like Morris Lewis was, the professor of religion there at King, they all know what the definition of the rod is. It means the authority for Yahweh's government. In other words, and that's what Brother Johnson set up as Yahweh's government in 1970, because he had the authority to do it. He had the commission to do it. Okay? He had the prophecy to do it. He had everything in his favor. He had all sevens as well, meaning complete. So he said, And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned unto Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, Go in peace. Jethro now was a priest in Midian. He's a Hebrew Israelite as well, from Ethiopia. And the Yahweh said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. So Jethro had inspiration to tell Moses that all the men are dead which sought thy life 40 years earlier, when you killed that Egyptian and had to flee from the face of Pharaoh. Well, actually, it was the Yahweh that said unto Moses and Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Okay, I got mistaken that for Jethro, the father-in-law. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them up on an ass. And he returned unto the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of Yahweh in his hand. Well, the thing is, the shepherd rod back then, they referred to it as a scepter. But in this language here, to get the more definite meaning, because Moses was told, now you don't use this scepter to herd the sheep with, that you've been doing for 40 years. Now you take this and it has a different meaning to it. It has a rod. Because see there in Genesis 49:10, it says, a scepter shall not depart from the scepter, for the scepter shall not depart from Judah. In other words, same thing as saying, for the rod, the authority for Yahweh's government shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gather the people be. So that in Genesis 49:10, this is Jacob talking to his 12 sons. He's giving them a last blessing before he passes away. And so he said there in Genesis 49:9, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? For the scepter, the rod, the authority for Yahweh's government, shall not depart from Judah, nor never depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver, nor a lawgiver. In other words, whoever he places over the candlestick of Israel as a prophet with inspiration, that is the lawgiver. Yahshua is the number one lawgiver, no doubt. But he says there's going to be a long time when Israel's going to dwell without a king, without an ephod, without all of that. But he said in the last days they're going to return. And we'll go read about that in Hosea chapter 3. Verse 3, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not pray to her. And thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yeshua, their Savior, their Redeemer, and David their king, and shall fear the Yeshua and his goodness in the latter days. His goodness is the house of David, the purified house, which represents the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth. Same thing with the synonymous term, the kingdom of heaven, that applies to the antithetical kingdom of David. All right. So it says, you can read that verse 4 again. It says, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince. That's without a prophet, and without a sacrifice, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. In other words, they're going to abide many days without the rod. In other words, authority for Yahweh's government. They're going to abide many days. Thus said the authority, the lawgiver, and the authority for Yahweh's government was the son. And he maintained that through the years of the drought that Israel had to go through without those many days they had to go through without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Okay, how many? Many days, many days. That's been a long time. Starting with the 2300 year prophecy in 457 BC. They went 2300 years. They had to go through 2300 years without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, and without a teraphim. From 457 BC to 1844 is how long they had to do it. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yeshua, their Savior, or the Yahweh, their Elohim, But actually, it's Yahshua, Yahushua, their Savior, Redeemer, and David, or their Yahweh, and David their King, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Or fear the Yahweh as well as the Son and the Father, and his goodness. The Father's goodness is his Son and the saints that he, the Father had given to the Son, which would be the 144,000. That would be the goodness of the Father and the Son in these latter days. But the scepter, the rod, the authority for Yahweh's government was not to depart from Judah. Never. And once Jacob put that blessing upon his sons that day, the day that he died, he put that blessing. He said, now, Judah, the scepter is not going to depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. As long as you have a Judah in existence in the world, there will always be a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh come. And who is Shiloh? That is Yahshua, the Messiah. So the lawgiver is not going to depart from between his feet until Shiloh come, and in him shall the other people be. Okay. Now we go back to Exodus chapter 4. It says, in verse 18, and Moses went and returned unto Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, go in peace. And Yahweh said unto Moses in Midian, go, return unto Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of Yahweh in his hand. That's where I read up 2 and 4. So he took the symbol that represents the authority for Yahweh's government, and it also represents deliverance. I've never put that in there before, but that rod, whoever wields that rod, he's the lawgiver, and he is a deliverer. And the Yahweh, verse 21, Exodus 4, and the Yahweh said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, that I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refusest, let him go. Behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the end that the Yahweh met him and sought to kill him. I have read this before as well, but we have to repeat it. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And Yahweh said unto Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of Yahweh and kissed him. And what's the mount of Yahweh? Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia in the south of Israel. And Moses took Aaron all the words of Yahweh who had sent him and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which Yahweh had spoken unto Moses. And he did the signs. And he did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Yahweh had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads in worship. Okay, that ends Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a Yahweh, a deity unto the Pharaoh. In other words, I have given you a same position that I hold. And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt, that Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by the great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Yahweh when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as Yahweh commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Yahweh had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before the Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, and they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So, the religions of the world today, their authority for their government is a false symbol. They have counterfeit. They have counterfeit rods. Represents false governments. Verse 13, Exodus 7. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them as Yahweh had said. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refused to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink, against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith Yahweh, In this thou shalt know that I am the Yahweh. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand up on the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. And the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, and upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Yahweh commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as Yahweh had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to do this also. Or he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Yahweh had smitten the river. Okay, so Yahweh smote the river for 7 days. This brings the third verse to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us now. Let me click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets.
Oh, the builder's tears are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labor. In the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces that line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, stand all aglow. We were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in God, as white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng, the flurry of Yah's trumpet. Spell the end of sin and wrong. A rainbow rose now unfolding. Heaven's grand stands all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing amazing grace. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me.